the background is that there is something we have to know, a few terms we have to know in order to understand this halachic discussion. The sheet's over there, whoever's just walking in. Okay. Source number one is Pasuk in Dvarim. Okay. Two different sukkim are more or less used as the source for the idea that one has to be healthy. One says, Raki shamer lecha v'shmor nafshecha me'od. And one says, V'nishmartem me'od l'nafshotecha. Okay, the same parak and dvarim. But those psukim, if you read those psukim, if anybody learns those psukim in their context in Chumash, they are not talking about health at all. That we'll see when we get to source three, but just so you see how this is an example of the source for being healthy. One example, that is the source two, the Gemara of Brachos tells us of a certain chassid who was davening Shmona Esrei, and an officer of the local army came up to him and started talking to him, and he didn't answer him because he's davening Shmona Esrei. So right in the context of this Gemara, you see that's not the halacha. If a threatening officer is going to kill you, you stop your Shmona Esrei and you talk to him. This chassid didn't do that. And apparently this was either a learned officer or the Gemara is filling in some details. The officer says to him, Reka, you fool! Halo katu b'toratchem raki shamer lecho shmor nafshecha uktiv nishmartem ol nafshotechem. How are you going to stay healthy if I'm about to chop your head off with a sword? Imayiti chotech roshecha v'say mi haya tovea damcha miyadi. Would anybody come to me and say, why'd you kill that guy? No! They all know it's my right because you didn't answer me. I'm an officer of the law. Who are you? You're a little Jew. So he said, let me try and explain. He says, if you were standing before the king and I came to talk to you, would you answer me? He said, no. And if you did, what would they do? They would chop off my head. He said, Kavachomer, Melech Machem Lachem. That's who I'm talking to. How should I answer you? Okay, and somehow this officer decided not to chop off his head. But what we see from here is the use of these two psukim, v'nishmartem, or hishamer lecha, as the source of halacha to not do that which is dangerous, detrimental to your health. Source three, the Maharsha, is a commentary, Rav Shmuel Edos. He says, these psukim, one is about forgetting the Torah, one is about not doing avodah zarah. Neither of these are about being healthy. Yet, these psukim are the ones that Chazal use as a source of being healthy, sort of what we call an asmachta, as in, we know we have to be healthy, we're going to use the, for many kalim in the Torah, many different rules we have in the Torah about being healthy, we are going to use these two psukim as a way of remembering it and reminding us. That's number one. So the first term we have to know, v'nishmartem ol nafshotechem, is a general rule about being healthy. Next, source four, lo tasim damim beitecha. The Torah tells us a certain mitzvah. If you have a roof, and your roof is the type of roof you can go up on, like not one of these slanted roofs, but a roof you would use, any balcony, ledge that can be dangerous, somebody could fall off, you have a mitzvah. You must put up a ma'akeh. You must put up a barrier. Something to keep you from falling off. If not, you are essentially putting blood in your house. Lo tasim damim beitecha. There's a lav. Don't leave blood in your house. Okay? It's not just only that case. For example, source 5, the Gemara Baba Kama says, minayin shelo yigadel adam kalav ra b'yom beito. Don't raise a dangerous dog in your house. V'ayamin sulam ru'ua. You have a ladder that if you use it, one of the legs falls off and you fall off and die. So don't use that ladder. You shouldn't even have that ladder in your house. Why? Somebody may come and take the ladder without knowing that's what happens. Use it in the, you're just trying to create problems here. Don't even have such a ladder. So we have a lot of lo tasim, not to have around things that are dangerous. Don't even have them. Forget using them. Don't even have them. Okay? And now comes a Rambam. We have source 6 and source 7. Rambam in source 6 is the halacha of Rotzeach Shmira Nefesh. That is the halacha of murder and guarding of souls. In source 7, we have a Rambam Hilchot Deot. What is Rambam Hilchot Deot? Dude, of how he describes the ideal person, the ashkafot, how you should act. So there's a fundamental difference between those two. And that is going to be part of our focus today. In source 6, the Rambam discusses these laws of the Makkah. Echar agag, a roof, a kol davar sheyesh bo sakan, anything dangerous. Ra'oi shekasho bo adam yamud, a person can trip on it and die. For example, hayata lo be'er or bor, if there was a pit or a well or a cistern in your field, in your courtyard, and somebody can walk by and fall in, you have to make yourself a border, kadesha, some sort of boundary, barrier, kadesha lo yipol adam yamud. So too, anything dangerous of death, aser, as the pasuk says, yishamer lecha shmor nafshecha, and if you don't get rid of it and you don't do it, you're over on lo tasim damim. Okay, so we saw both the positive and the negative. In hey, he says, harpe dvarim asru chachamim mipnei sheyesh bem sakana nafshecha. V'chol over aleihem omer, I'm going to take a risk. Chazal saw certain activities going on, and they said, those are dangerous. Too many people who have been doing it have been dying. And they said, that's it. You can't do that at all. It's usher. You say, I'm an expert. That's not for me. We beat you. Okay? It's usher. And he has a list of examples. Some of them you may have heard of, such as what we call Mayim Megulim, water that was left out uncovered overnight. So I guess snakes were more common. One of them may have put his venom inside the water. You drink the water, you die. That was apparently something that was very common. So Chazal said, "Aser to drink the water." Aser like eating treif. Aser like all the yisurim that we have. Aser. Okay, we're talking mitzvah. Not just we don't recommend you don't drink this water. Maybe you shouldn't. Aser. Got it? Okay, that's source 6. Source 7 is the Rambam in Hilchot Deot. The Rambam in Hilchot Deot is discussing the best activities for you. And he says it's better to be healthy. Having a healthy body, that's Darche Hashem. Because if you're not healthy, since the Rambam says there's so many things you have to know and believe as a Jew, and if you're sick, you're not going to be thinking right. You might not know them. You might not be able to do the mitzvah. You have to try and stay away from unhealthy behavior. And you should train yourself to do healthy things. And he gives some examples. For example, the one I put here, though there's many more, is a whole parak of them, but I just left one in. Was going to the bathroom right away. If you hold it in, it's not as good for you as going to the bathroom. Okay, so he talks about eating healthy foods and not eating unhealthy foods. Now, is this iser v'heter? No, as in, it is not healthy to eat donuts and pizza. But does that mean that every time we eat one of those things, we're violating an iser? No. Maybe if we constantly only eat donuts and pizza and we live such an unhealthy lifestyle that we're going to die of a coronary any minute because we're so unhealthy and never get exercise, so maybe that is a problem. That doesn't mean that each act of each time you eat a donut, you're violating an iser. Unlike each time you drink water that was left out overnight, you are violating an iser. Meaning Chazal made that an iser. And here the Rambam is saying, you shouldn't be eating unhealthy, you should be eating healthy. Should is the operative term here, not aser. Now here is where our question is. Is smoking going to be in the category of something that is aser, unhealthy, v'nishmartem bo l'nafshoteichem? Or is it going to be in the category of, best to stay away from, it's not the healthiest thing, try not to do it. Try not to do it too much. Here's one more factor to throw in the loop, and that's what we're going to get to over here. Source 8. The pasuk in Tehillim says, "Shomer titayim Hashem." Hashem protects fools. Hashem protects the simple-minded. Chazal used this to explain that even though certain activities seem to be dangerous, it is okay to do them anyway. And it's going to give an explanation in a minute, but first let's see one or two examples. For example, source 9, the Gemara in Yevamos discusses three types of women who might be able to use birth control because it is dangerous for them to have relations otherwise, and we need to enable them to have relations. And the Chachamim disagreed with that Mandamar, and they said, those people can't, you know, and then there's, like, one of them is a young girl, so who might not be able to have relations. The Chachamim said, no, but enough people are having relations without these issues. So it's beyond the scope of our shir what exactly the details are. That's why I left out most of the sukkah. I just want you to see the example. So it's okay. People have those relations and Hashem protects them. Source 10, Gemara Avodah Zarah tells about a person eating certain fruits, anavim etanim b'alayla, and there might be a worm inside. You might choke on the worm, or I don't know, it might bite you. There's all sorts of dangers. And the Gemara says, again, no problem, enough people are eating grapes at night. You know, everybody eats grapes, everybody eats figs all the time, nothing happens to them. Sharon Tayyim Hashem. You can live your life constantly being scared and afraid of things, or you can be normal. Shomer Tayyim Hashem tells you, you can just do things that are normal. And what's my proof of that? For the ones that are coming up. Source 11 says that you can't have relations 90 days after pregnancy. Why? Because if you have relations, then gilu shofet damin, you may as well be killing your wife because she's not able to do it that day. Now, how are you going to know which day is the 90th day or whatever? So Rabbi says, "Mishamish ha'olif, don't worry about it. Shem tem Hashem." Lots and lots of people have had babies, and then once they're able to get tahor, they're with their husbands on a normal schedule, and you don't have to worry about it. Source 12, Gemara Shabbos says about bloodletting. You can't bloodlet on Tuesday, and you can't bloodlet on Saturday, in Monte Shabbos, I guess. You can't do it, because depends when Mars is here and Mars is there, the constellations, bloodletting doesn't work, it's more dangerous at those times. So this is the key word that we are going to be discussing now. What is Dashuba Rabim? So many people do it. So yes, I can hear you explain to me in theory, this is a dangerous activity, but this is now done by so many people it's considered normal, you cannot tell me that the halacha asers it. That is the term dashuba rabim. One last example, source 13, we have on a cloudy day or on a windy day, you can't do a bris milah, lo ma'alinam be, v'lo misachrinam be, also no bloodletting. I never heard of a say, we had to cancel the bris because it was cloudy. No, we have brises. 8 days later, we have a bris. And Shomer Tayyim Hashem, Hashem will protect the baby. Because it's normal. Dashuva Rabim. That's the standard practice. Dashuva Rabim, standard. You don't have to be concerned over every little thing in the world. Live your life. Be normal. So our discussion right now, I'm going to take your question 1 second, is going to be whether smoking fits under Vinish Martin Lo Nafshatechem, it's very dangerous, or and therefore it's going to be usher, or not recommended, meaning is it one of those? And then at that point, is it common enough that we could say Dashuva Rabim, it's normal? Okay, because even if you want to say it's dangerous things that are normal could be permitted. Question?
Could something be like Dashuva Rabim, say, a long time ago, but now it's not as common?
Correct, Dashuva Rabim can change. Yes, that is going to be one of our discussions, a huge discussion of our focus today, because smoking could have been more, you know, common than you're, you know, they used to think.
Also, a very particular place that you're in as well.
Correct, by that locale. Good. Okay. So, what are our views on smoking? So, now that we know the background, we know the factors. There's v'nishmartem versus shomrei tayyim Hashem. It's dangerous, but Hashem protects the fools. So how does that play in? So where is our first discussion of smoking in halacha? So we actually covered it, a mention of it, in the Shir on showering on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Remember, we discussed that there's something called Ochel Nefesh. Ochel Nefesh is that on Yom Tov you are allowed to cook. And we said, since you're allowed to kindle the fire appropriately, meaning from an existing flame, for food on Yom Tov, you're also allowed to do it for other purposes, even not for food. Okay, and that was how we discussed heating up water for showering. So the Gemara says, if you can heat it up for whatever you want, maybe I can also heat it up for incense, mugmar. Can I heat up incense on Yom Tov? Again, I'll take from an existing flame and I'll transfer it and I won't blow anything out. Maybe I can heat up incense. So the Gemara says, no. It's not shave l'chol nefesh. Shave l'chol nefesh means a basic human need. Common to everybody. Everybody needs it. So everybody needs to eat. You're allowed to make food. Everybody may need to bathe, especially if you said, you know, 3-day yontif. Okay, so you're allowed to heat up water for that. But not everybody needs incense. So the question is, where would smoking fall out in this discussion? And that is where we have our first sources discussing smoking. For example, I'll go back to 14 in a second, but source 15, the Korban Netanel says, while I'm discussing mugmar, I can't lo chalitapek, I can't hold off discussing shia tobacco. This is about drinking, I guess. The first tobacco they had wasn't smoking it, but drinking it. Or maybe he just calls it shtia, but it's smoking. I don't even know what their systems were back then. But maybe they had to boil it up like it was a bong. I don't know. But it was something on Yom Tov. And he says, I don't think, you know, there is also the Isser Yom Tov. He says, it's not Zorach Yom Tov. What's the mitzvah? And he says, I saw a shutar and no one was matir. But every little hefter he gave, I have a dechia, roish ein ba'im mamish. And some people say it's a devar ragil. And he says, but is it more ragil than incense? It's not. And nonetheless, they asr mugmar, mikomakom asra mugmar, she'en ha'shav l'chol nefesh, al funakim. Only pampered people need it. It's not a need for every person. And I'm going to prove to you that smoking is not a need for every person. Because let's say you try smoking for the first time. You're going to start coughing like a drunkard. So my problem is on all these people, I'm not an Ami Haaretz, I don't know the halacha, I'm talking about from people who I see doing it. Source 16. Or it's not a need for everybody. It's not on the source sheet with the Bar Halacha lists. All a bunch of those who are Oser, a bunch of those who are Mashir. And what I put on the sheet about Yom Tov Sheni was that he said that don't be Matir more on Yom Tov Sheni than on Yom Tov Rishon. That was in his discussion of smoking on it. So he didn't really take a position there. He said there are those yes and those no. Okay? On the other hand, who are those who are Matir? So the Rabbi saw that he just quoted the Shidduch and almost Matir. We have those who are matir either view it as something more common, and therefore it is a human need. Why would it be a human need? Now let's look at source 14. You're going to love this source. Source 14, the Bnei Yoshua says, let me tell you about tobacco. In Kenira, the ishun of tobacco, nami havi labrira guf, it makes you healthy. Like halamazon, it helps digest your food, tabaramafa, helps your appetite. Meaning, I guess you're not hungry because you smoke, you don't say what's that. And Cain, Avshiyisha, Pashon, until the Tanuk, even though some people consider it Tanuk, feel like in the service of Kafi, Parishit, Adul, Mishum, Shum, Namu, the Tanuk, big regard. Because you enjoy it, is that any worse? Vimishum, Shain, or Yinimo, feel a Hafi, Bogar, Mizayah. It's no worse than the sweat, meaning Shvitz, that you're allowed to go take a bath, except we the Chachamim were also because you might boil up the water on Shabbos or Yom Tov, but it's no less of a need, therefore. So, Pnei Yoshua wasn't actually matir, but that svara of look at a person who smokes. When he doesn't have his cigarettes, he's shaking, he's irritable, he's hungry. He smokes, he's calm. So if you look at smoking in a vacuum without knowing anything about it, you see it having these benefits. So yes, smoking per se, I mean, I don't have a need to smoke since I don't smoke, but the needs of that person in terms of him being calm is a need of every person. Him being relaxed, him being satiated, that's a need of every person. And that could be standard for each person. So that is the background we have on smoking on Yontif. We tend to paskin mizmanazai, I hope that you can't. For example, Rav Sternbach and Shubhano Mohadim says that it is no longer considered standard, certainly not considered, therefore, shadu l'chol nefesh, so you can't smoke on Yontif. The question is whether you're allowed to smoke at all. So we have to discuss the parameters of something called dasha barabim. How do we decide when something is that dasha barabim? For example, the Chalkat Yaakov, source 17, discusses traveling in a car or an airplane. He says traveling in a car or an airplane is a dangerous thing. There are a lot of automobile accidents. There have been plane crashes. So, is it too dangerous for you to go? Is it nishmarta bold enough to take them? Why can you put yourself at risk and go in a car? Why can you put yourself at risk and go in an airplane? No, it's not a problem. Dasha barabim, it's so common, it's normal. People get on a plane, there are people who travel weekly, daily, all the time, constantly in their car. People who fly once a week, twice a week. Sunday to Friday, they're in America, Shabbos in Israel. There are people who do that. It's standard, it's normal. Dashu barabim, you can't tell me that's Hasser. Source 17. Who was raising his hand? Yes.
Just before we leave the topic of smoking on Yontif.
Yeah.
What's the level of the Isur? Is it just a discouragement?
No, the level of Isur is that it's Hasser to light fires on Yontif that aren't for Shabbos on Nefesh. It's an Isur, right? To light fires on Yontif. Yeah.
Including transferring.
Including transferring a flame. You're allowed to transfer a flame when it's for food. Or something that's shablachol nefesh, which we said may include day-to-day in a society where people bathe every day.
So most possible that smoking on Yontif is not right?
Yeah, but not because of the smoking.
Because of the transferring
of flame. Yeah, transfer the flame. Correct?
So how is it a thing that
because they're holding of those people who feel the Shabbat from Nefesh. I mentioned those. And I said the Bar Halacha cites the Shari Jew, or the Hidra Jew, or the Darkei Noam. He lists a whole bunch who do say that it's considered Shabbat from Nefesh.
So if you personally believe that, could you, and you, let's say, you're addicted to smoking, could you use that as a heter?
You could use that as a heter, given that it's allowed to smoke in the first place, which is our focus now. Okay, but all I only brought the smoking discussion because that's our four sources.
Okay, but you wouldn't be over in Isidore transferring a flame. You hold that it's like a practice of.
Okay, but you might be over the Isidore right or smoking.
Yeah.
Okay. But you guess, if the practice is considered Shabbat Chol Nefesh, then the flame transfer for it wouldn't be us. Agreed. That's a fair point. Okay. So now, that was the Chalkei Yaakov. So now, there's two limiting factors that I know of on Dashu Barabim. The first one is source 17. No, that was 17. Source 18, the Achiezer of Chaim Ozer Grzynski. He says, Samchina al shor time Hashem mishum v'zehu chashash rachok u'miyuta d'miyuta she'enu matzuin. In order for Shomer Taim Hashem to work, as in this is really a dangerous activity, but it's okay for us to do it because it's so common, that only applies when the danger is distant, meaning chashash rachok, meaning so unlikely, umiguta demiguta sheno matzoi, so uncommon. Is that true here? It's minimal damage to a small minority. Is that true here? That would seem to be neither applying here based on what we know about smoking. On the other hand, source 19, the Shud Binyan Zion, he limits Dasha Barabim to, he's mechalik between immediate danger and long-term danger. He says, the danger's in front of us. As in, you wouldn't do something like stand in the street, stand in the train tracks with a train coming onto you. That's immediate danger. That's clear to everybody. It's us, sir. But what about going into a situation of danger where it's far off? His example are crossing a desert. So when you're entering the desert, it's not dangerous. You may come at risk, but people do it. So then we could say, Dashbarabim, if everybody crosses this desert, if it's standard, taking this airplane flight across the ocean is standard, so then that is allowed. So we have to now decide, according to the Binyan Tzion, you might be able to say smoking has no immediate danger, it has long-term danger. So do we hold to that Binyan Tzion? You might have a little more room for leniency. But what we're going to focus on now is whether that's true, that one is allowed to enter into that situation when it comes to smoking. One of the problems we have is that some of the first two votes we have about smoking are when people didn't know how dangerous smoking was. None other than the great Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal. You can follow his progression of tshuvot that he wrote at different times, different years. I stuck the years in, they're not part of the tshuva, and they're part of the tshuva in Hebrew, but I stuck in the English year so we can sort of gauge where we were when he said different things. For example, source 20. Moshe Feinstein was asked about smoking, and he says, maybe you should stay away from it because it's addictive. But to say it's usher because it's dangerous, so many people do it, and therefore it's got to be okay. Hashem helps fools. Torah, we know there are some gedolim who smoked. Let's say somebody says, can you give me a light? So would that be usher? So he said in that time, no. That was 1963. But he has one line in the one at the beginning that says, maybe we shouldn't do things that are addictive. Okay? He's saying even if it's not so dangerous, but it's addictive, one shouldn't do it. That's something we're going to discuss shortly. This idea of staying away from something addictive. Even something that's addictive and not dangerous, it's just addictive. Source 21, 1981, writing to a doctor named Dr. Rosner. Right, we have this rule of Shomer Tam Hashem. Hashem protects fools. Hashem protects the simple-minded. We said, there's a danger. We're on the top of the second page. But, Avshin Vada, Gustav Mashah Sakanta, also this one was that. Unlike when it's Lozier Boichi, when most people aren't careful about it, you can't say it's a problem. He says, for example, there are a lot of things. There are questions. The Dabar Dika Harvei Shalok Kashul Lebriotam Plum. You go on a Harvei Mine Olin Shai Inchi Nenim Men Biyoter Gevisra Shmena. Fatty meat. The Dvar Harifim Biyoter and certain spicy, I don't know, whatever foods. Kashul Zel Lebriotam Shkama Inchi. There are people who can't eat those foods and it's bad for their health. They have bad cholesterol. So everybody else can't eat red meat because this guy has bad cholesterol? No. So there's no Isser. Since most people are not in danger from it. He says, if you look, the Rambam, Perek Dalet, and Deo, we saw in source 7, says that there's foods that are better, Hatovim, Lebriotogov, Rayim, Lebriotogov, there are ones that are worse for you. Lo Katav, the Lashon Isser. He didn't say it's Aser. He said, this is better, this is worse. He didn't say, this is not Aser, Midoraita, it's Aser, Midorabatman. No. Lo Midoraita, Lo Midorabatman, Shasur Chachamim. Unlike when the Chachamim answered certain things, like we saw in Source 6, Sakana Nefasha Rotseach, the Rambam says, you can't leave a roof without a ledge, without a fence. That's Lotas and Domim, that's Aser. And if you do it, Makas Mardus. We beat you. So, professor, since most people, it doesn't injure. Now, you're Dr. Rosner, you're working in this hospital, and you wrote me a note that you're dealing with so many people who got sick, and so many of them are from smoking, and therefore you want me to say that smoking is usher. He said, when it comes to, right, he says, that kilkul l'chol mizeh ho'achol panim rak mi'u katan. It's such a small minority. And when he says that's about diseases in general, the kosher name l'achol mizeh v'sartan, cancer, v'ol machlon v'sakanonu katan bioter, even, and the more dangerous diseases like cancer, it's an even smaller percentage. It seems like a lot to you? Well, you're a doctor in a hospital. And you see cancer patients all day, and they have all sorts of problems. And you see, okay, more of them are smoking cigarettes. And it may be like that in all the hospitals. Mikom akom vaday kol acholim animtzim v'batei acholim, gam etzir avelu shaloba v'batei acholim, all those in hospitals, plus those who didn't get to hospitals. Miyuta legabi da elu da alma shenitzim v'batei shalom achulchav. Those people are a minority compared to all the people around the world smoking at home. Therefore, since they're in the minority, the people in hospitals who smoked versus people not in hospitals currently smoking, they're a minority. Therefore, Shomer time Hashem, Hashem will protect the fools. You want to tell me, okay, so Moshe is getting a little stronger in his wording. A ben Torah shouldn't smoke because there's a hashash to zakana, the aim is a shum toelet, it doesn't help anything. Especially if you haven't gotten hooked. And certainly it's usher to get yourself hooked. Don't let your kids get hooked, even if you got hooked. You should not certainly get yourself addicted to anything that is a tav, a thirst, a pleasure of the world. You're not supposed to overindulge in this world's pleasures. And therefore, okay, of course you shouldn't get yourself addicted to anything. But just because you, a doctor in a hospital, see a lot of cancer patients who smoked, you want me to tell you it's usher? Those people are immune. It's so common to smoke, you can't tell me that it's usher from the Torah to smoke. Okay, that was what year? 1981. The next year, okay, the next source, 22, is Shut Rivavot Ephraim. Who is the Rivavot Ephraim? Oh, yeah, we have a question already before that?
Yeah. I don't understand that source because it's saying because not everyone's going to get cancer from smoking, it's only going to affect a minority that's going to get sick from smoking. Therefore, you don't need to, like, not everyone's going to fall off a roof if there's not an area around it, then you don't need to.
So Chazal saw it as happening much more. People going on roofs that don't have barriers fall off more than, meaning, if you took a percentage of people on roofs without barriers, how many of them fall off? Meaning, not percentage of people in the world. Percentage of people on roofs without barriers, how many fall off, is very high. And therefore, they said the roof has to have a barrier. And the percentage of people who smoke, who get cancer, at least the statistics they had then, wasn't as high. Meaning, compared, how many people were smoking in the world then? Let's say, I don't know, 10 million? I'm probably way off on these numbers. And how many people were in hospitals across the world from smoking? 50,000? 50,000 to 10 million is like, I don't know, 1/20. That's not enough to halachically say, okay? 1/20 is 5%. 10% doesn't even exist halachically. So it's not enough for him to say, okay, it's us. Got it? We're not yet at that threshold. Okay. Rav Ephraim Greenblatt. He died in 2014, pretty recently.
From smoking.
No, not from smoking. Chas v'shalom. He lived in Eretz Yisrael. His family is very poor. So he decided, he was about 19 years old, I'm going to go to America, I'm going to become a rabbi, I'm going to use my money, send it back to support my family. He got to America, and he immediately fell in love with learning under Rav Moshe Feinstein. And he learned under him a long time, and Rav Moshe Feinstein had a request to send a student to far south Memphis, Tennessee. Okay, not a large Jewish community. Send a student here to be our rabbi, and he sent Rabbi Greenblatt there. And Rabbi Greenblatt served there for 58 years, supporting his family, investing a large Sfarim library, and he was taking his money and depositing it with a man named Bernie Madoff. You've heard of him. And when Madoff was revealed as a fraud and lost all his money, so, and he was also older and I guess didn't need to support his family as much, but he returned to Eretz Yisrael penniless. And he died 2-3 years later. But he was able to support his family for those many years. He was a very close Talmud of Moshe Feinstein. And here's what he writes in Source 22. The cigarette companies have had to pay out millions already. This is in volume 8 of his tshuvas. He has 10 volumes of tshuvas. So this is already one of his later tshuvas. He says, we know they lied about how dangerous they are. And therefore it's clear to us that thousands die. I believe the number's in millions. I think 100,000 die every year in America now. In Cain. You can't apply Hashem protects the fools. Would you lie down in the middle of the street and say, no car is going to hurt me? That's suicide. You can't tell me Shomer B'Tayim Hashem. So too, smoking is so dangerous, it's also a slow form of suicide. It's certainly forbidden to smoke the ancient heter. There is no leniency. And I've spoken to doctors, and it's certainly also. And he says, I don't know what all these yeshiva buffers I see smoking. I don't know how their rebbeim let them do it, their mashkiach, their minal, they should all stop them. He says, even in the non-Jewish world, and where Jews don't go, if you go to a certain you go to bars, they sit there drinking alcohol. They ban smoking. Alcohol, that's probably not so good for you either, but they're still doing that. But smoking, no. And yeah, Masha Echab Yishalayim, Amar, Shishama, Miposik, Shemutar. This guy says, I heard from some Posik, Shemutar. I went and asked that guy, he denied it. Everybody heard, a Shmua, somewhere, somebody said his mother, there's no Hedar, Eser Gamor, Chosunal Nashatechem, Tafsikul Hashem, you shouldn't be smoking. Okay, that's a Talmud of Rav Moshe Feinstein. What I'm trying to present here is that even based on Rav Moshe Feinstein's rules and explanations, if they were updated to modern statistics and facts that we know about smoking, his guidelines would tell you, even according to his standard, that it's usher to smoke. Source 23, the Tzitz Eliezer. Who was the Tzitz Eliezer? When did he live? And he also died in the 2000s, about 10 years ago. And he was the Rav and Posek of Shari Tzedek Hospital. Okay, preeminent Posek, especially in medical areas. And he was asked a question about smoking. He was asked really about, so can I tell a person to not smoke near me? Am I halachically in my right? And Tavshin and Med, this was a year after that Shulman Rav Moshe in 1981, this is 1982. And he says the following, smoking will shorten your life. So many leading statisticians and studies tell you about the dangers of smoking. Tens of thousands of people across the world are dying from all sorts of terrible diseases, malignant growths, and lung disease, bronchitis, chronic bronchitis, and all sorts of diseases to all sorts of his body. The greatest killer of man is smoking now. The orzen nirabara lotzal shafik, without any shadow of a doubt, there's no way to be matir smoking. You can't apply shapas pasramurva ina the dashabar rabu shomkaim Hashem. That doesn't apply here. The law rokein on the kamot the law nitgal, where it hasn't been revealed about how bad it is. Ba'ad Rava, Rosha Rava, Mekin Shlemim, Avra Vloni Zoko, where most people go through it without an issue. But in our case, that's not true. B'mamadim mevilim hezekeya mekuv hamarubim hamasukinim asher ha'ishun gorim mekavav. With tons of numbers, we can tell you how bad it is. So bad, akadei kach shebekamim b'dino k'donot, certain big countries, atzimod yatsa achok mehid mamshulotem, achovat tziyun azhara akul hafisut sigariot. You have to put a Surgeon General's warning on how dangerous cigarettes are in the packages to warn you. I remember in college, one of my somebody I knew smoked, and he came from Canada. And in his area in Canada, or all of Canada, I don't know, the law was that over half the box had to have a picture of like diseased gum mouth from smoking on the box of cigarettes. Like you have to say, yeah, you pass me a box of those diseased gum cigarette things? Is that a law also in Australia? It's like that in Australia? Okay. Akadeka, and that's what you're smoking, knowing that that's on the box?
It's also a massive tax in Australia.
Massive tax? Okay, well, it's a massive source of income. That's the secret between all the smokers. The smokers are going to pay because they still need to smoke. Those taxes can be high. They can be many dollars on every box.
It's like
big money for all the governments. And I'm reading now a report by the Surgeon General in America. Yotermi Meya Elef Amerikaim Yamutu Hashana, 100,000 will die. Again, this is Tafshin Membet. I don't know if those numbers changed. That was 1982. Vadaisha, absurdi. It's absurd. La lim ayin konzeh, to ignore it. La ftirk lachriyat, lomar ki gam, al kagodzeh, namar shom tam Hashem. It's absurd to say, it's so common, shomer tam Hashem. No, halacha does not consider that allowed. Halacha considers it usher. You can't apply shomer tam Hashem. Instead, you have to apply nishmartim ma'ol and ashtetam. Source 24, two more, and then source 26 is about marijuana. So I figured I was going to get a question about that, so I'm going to include that as well. Okay. Source 24. Shut asel harav. Rav Chaim David Alevi was the chief rabbi of Tel Aviv. His daughter is married to our Rosh Kollel, Rav Shlomo Levi. His daughter's daughter is married to the guy who gives the Daf Yomi here, Rav Udi Schwartz. You've seen him. Tremendous Talmud Chacham in his own right, if not for his Hashem son-in-law and grandson-in-law. But Shut Aseh Lecha Rav. He was asked, it was beautiful, it was very entertaining to read. Somebody said, I saw an ad for Kashrut LePesach cigarettes. Do I need to get the kashrut LePesach ones or my regular ones okay? And he also asked something about, after Afikoman, am I allowed to smoke my cigarette? Given that I'm allowed to smoke a manyantif, I'll use an existing flame, etc. Can I have it after Afikoman? Because we're not allowed to eat after Afikoman, am I allowed to have a cigarette? And he says, I'm not going to answer any of those questions. That's absurd, because you're not allowed to smoke. Hello, yadatim lo shamata. Didn't you hear every statistic of every hospital ever telling you about all the cancer patients and heart attacks people have from smoking? And it's a number one killer. And that's one statistic I just quoted is a drop in the bucket of all the statistics. Had our rabbis known how dangerous it was, they would have made it asr meikar adin. Just like kafisha asru lanu advarim harbe pachot mazikim. That's a my typo, so I had to type it up since it's not a Bar-Ilan. It's harbe pachot mazikim, not harpe. Okay, even less dangerous. If you want to tell me how dangerous is it to possibly be drinking water that somebody left out overnight? What are the chances that a snake happened to put its venom in it? And nonetheless, they made it also. That's less dangerous than smoking. So of course they would have answered it. And here's something the Chavetz Chaim wrote However, this was also quoted by the Sitz Eliezer. I just only figured to put it on the source sheet once. It's already long enough. So, the Chafetz Chaim said, some doctors told me, the Chafetz Chaim lived 100, 120 years ago, right? Not as recently. Said, some doctors have told me that anybody who is weak shouldn't be smoking these. Anybody who is prone to any addiction shouldn't be smoking. And in a debate, come up on me, my halu shei koach. Some people I spoke to, how could you smoking? They said they know it's bad. I can't stop. I'm already addicted. So shouldn't I be able to continue? Who allowed you to get yourself addicted? Hello. And then he has a point. Hello. Table in the law. Hashem created the whole world. The We were made to be mechavid Hashem. He gives us so many things we need in order to do His will and learn His Torah. If you're shah evet lasol latzmok, if you're tzonov, halosh u'shay v'adono, don't you belong to your master, to Hashem? How can you do that to your body? So it says the kind of lady kozon maran chavetz chaim lo yada et sakanonam dolor tmonavishon. He didn't even know then how dangerous it is. Rofez mano gazru omer shekol misha dam halosh asul abil. You shouldn't get used to it because you're weak. That's what the best doctors of his time knew. Ilya dam arana chavetz chaim, had he known how dangerous it really is, ilya safek shuposig lazur yishun kohat in alacha. Chavetz chaim, the halachah mishnah berurah, he would have of course passed that was asul alacha. And in enlightened nations, Ratzon Rod and our lands, he also says if you write Sakana Mavet, and here's another argument that he puts forth. Anu shetoratinu akadosha torat chayim inif fagera chareihem. We are supposed to be a light unto the nations. We are supposed to make a kiddush Hashem. Can we lag behind what the enlightened other nations say? And that is an argument that many have made. I've heard it from Rav Schechter, and I heard it in his name from other people. That he said that there's the Chil Hashem. People are supposed to look at Am Yisrael and say, "Ah, look at them. That's how to act." People already are looking down on smoking. So if you do it, they're going to look down on you. You can't do it. In addition to it being a slow suicide, etc. Before I get to the marijuana, I'm going to sum up. But I wanted to tell one story just about this idea of not having any addiction or not giving into your Kaivos, or you wrote something just because you want to do something. There's a Rav Lichtenstein, Zatzal, was at somebody's house in America, and he was sitting in a certain room, and somebody turned on the football game, American football. And Rav Lichtenstein had been a fan, was interested in the game, and he watched the last quarter, about 15 minutes, meaning with stoppage of the play, it takes a little bit longer, and he watched about 10 minutes. And when there's 2 minutes left and the game is really exciting, he walks out. And somebody went over to him and said, "You know, the game, you know, you could stay." And he said, "No, Shvira Saratzon. Part of life, part of being an Oved Hashem is you have to make your life about what Hashem wants, not only about what I want. And sometimes that means not doing something that I want." And Rav Lichtenstein was obviously very cognizant of that as a quintessential example of an Oved Hashem, was that we don't just do things that we want and feel like. And I often use that story to explain to Shana'al guys when they come about one of the things that they're going to work on in yeshiva is that part of being an Oved Hashem is sometimes we have to do things we don't want to do. By the way, that makes you a good husband also, good parent, good friend. Sometimes life is about not only doing what I want, it's also about doing what others want or what's wanted of me. So yes, I may not want to wake up for Shacharis. I'd much rather stay in bed. Being an Oved Hashem, you don't wake up for Shacharis. That's part of being a Jew. Okay, so we've discussed the Chil Hashem aspect. We've discussed it's much more common, the danger. So there's really no way to say v'nishmartim ol l'nafshoteichem. You can't tell me that it's not dangerous, that it's so common, it must be okay. There's one argument before I get to the last source that I wanted to discuss was But so many from people and so many wonderful people I saw do it and people in the previous generations. So Shibber Moshe, source 25, he puts forth, I thought it was an interesting argument, though I think there's many other arguments to be made about why just because some gadol in a previous generation smoked doesn't make it okay for you to smoke. But he puts forth the environmental aspect. And he says, we are now at a point where there is so much pollution in the world. So maybe back then they smoked, that was all their lungs had to deal with, was their smoking. We have to also inhale all the pollution of the world. So now when we smoke, we have smoke and pollution, and it's much worse for our health than it was for their health. Therefore, you can't say that it's allowed. Okay? Any questions before I get to marijuana? Yes?
You said before about the story with Rob Feinstein that he would walk out of the pulpit. I understand. I understand about the smoking and things that are.
I'm not saying that I would walk out of a football game. Sure. I've stayed to the end of sports events that I've go to. Okay? I'm saying that's just as an ideal of look how somebody who is so careful about things he gets addicted to, things he enjoys, about putting things in perspective. Okay? I'm not saying that you have to walk out of a football game. I don't do that. I'm not going to preach anything.
I'm not speaking about in particular. I'm speaking about more just...
Okay.
It's very logical have the statement that you would not do things bad for you, even though you want to do them. That's a very logical thing. But to not do things that you enjoy that are also...
You're saying that's fine, a step beyond.
That's going... to me, at least, that's just ridiculous.
So the
Ramban says... No ridiculous in that he's wrong, but...
No, Ramban says, Kedoshim to you is Kadesh Atzmacha B'Motor Lecha. Even things which are allowed to you, you make yourself holy by not doing them. So I'm not saying don't do them at all. We do them within reason. The Gemara says that Rabbi Yudah Nasi, the house was so rich, so all the delicacies of the world were served there. The Rebbe didn't touch any of them. So some of the explanations, he didn't touch any of them? What did he eat? So some of the explanations are, he did, within reason. He had some. And therefore we consider as though he didn't have them. He didn't turn it into a gluttonous feast. Okay? There's a way to enjoy the world. Within reason, have some entertainment. You can go on a restorative vacation. But now we're already off topic. Of course, that was just a side point. I got this off topic, not you. But meaning, there's just to put in perspective. Just because I want to do something or I really enjoy doing something, that doesn't make it something we should be doing. Especially now when we're discussing smoking, where it's clearly, according to any statistics, any chacham who's in a barusho, to realize how dangerous it is.
So I shouldn't have said ridiculous.
I also read another article, if I listened correctly, Patka, where what did you say, and of Moshe Feinstein's Moshe Feinstein's chance to have progressed to the stage where he was quite strict in smoking and whatever it does.
So Rav Avadya did in Halichot Olam, published in 1998, he completely ruled it out, said it's prohibited to smoke. Okay? In 1983, he was matir. But again, that's probably the same lumbus. It's so common, so must be Dashu Barabi. Oh, now that I know how dangerous it is, you can't tell me Dashu Barabi. Okay?
So it comes according to all poskim that is a violation of Shemar Lecha, Oshmar Lavshika Meod. So then there could never be the question of smoking on the ends of Lappi.
Correct. It wouldn't be possible. Okay? Just a list of one article I read, of Lichtenstein, of Schechter, of Aaron Soloveitchik, of Moshe Feinstein, of Ephraim Greenblatt, of Victor Nevensol, of the Tzitz Eliezer, of Chaim David Alevi, of Avadi Yosef, but Frank Greenblatt. Okay, it's a pretty thorough list. Okay. Now, the tshuva about marijuana. Again, this is a tshuva to Moshe Feinstein. Tavshalam Gimel. I'm a little bit connected to this tshuva. The person who asked the tshuva is my mother's first cousin. His name is in the first line there. Rabbi Yerucham from Shlita. Hinei b'davar asher hechilu eze bacharim yeshiva la'ashrein chashish. There's some boys in the yeshiva who started smoking marav vama. Pashut shu davar asur mikame ikarei binim shabat horav chadna shu mikalkel mechale taguf. It does ruin the body. Okay, now this is again something that could be based on modern science. We think it's less detrimental to our health, so maybe we can discuss whether that part is true, but certainly I think his other arguments are still true. If we find healthy people who smoke and it doesn't hurt them, smoke marijuana, it does affect their knowledge, their brain, their thought ability. You can't tell me the people who are high can learn Torah properly. They can't daven properly. Mitzvah Torah. They can't do many mitzvah properly. If you're doing without the right intention, that's as though you didn't do it. It also causes, meaning it also causes addiction. That there are people addicted to marijuana. Even if you want to, again, I said even if we change and it's not as dangerous as we once thought, marijuana, it's still addictive, as in people who smoke marijuana will tell you that when they're done, they're already planning their next one. They always want to do it, they always want to do the next one, they always want another high, and they do many things in order to get it. Sure, you'll tell me, Tavar Achila, it's even worse than your hunger. Which you actually need to eat, to live. And people can't contain themselves and hold it in. And that is so bad. For example, Ben Sorer Moreh. Right? We punish the Ben Sorer Moreh because he wants to eat meat. Kosher meat. All the more so you shouldn't bring yourself to the greater taiva of smoking marijuana. Okay, so we won't beat him like a Ben Sorer Moreh because we don't logically give people makot. It's certainly an iser. Also, that's another reason we don't apply Ben Sorer Moreh. And here's another argument. The parents of those who smoke this, they don't like that their son is a dope addict. And that's a violation of Kibbut Aba'im. You're going to be a stoner. No parent is happy about that. Also, Kedoshim Tiyu, like the Ramban says on Chumash, which he said is Kadeshit Atzmach Amotu Lecha, Lo Tein Avel, Vishur Torah means don't become disgusting even when something's permissible. Gam Hin, right? Even kosher wine, can I just be a drunk lying in the street? No. That's what the Ramban says about Kedoshim Tiyu. Gam Hin Gormim Li Yisurim Harbe Acharim Lebat Zed causes other Yisurim. Sof Tavar Pashur Baror Shum Yisurim Chamurim Tzarif Lishtadel V'chol Yichol Elavir Tum Azom Min Kol Bnei Yisrael V'frat She'elu Shlom Dem Yeshivot, especially from Yeshiva Bachars from Moshe Feinstein. So that's his view. If the health benefits are, for example, medical marijuana, we're already in another discussion, and a little bit I looked into it while preparing for the shir was that the conclusion is that it is allowed when it's medicinally needed. It helps somebody with, I don't know, glaucoma or various other conditions. That is not a discussion. Somebody has a medical need for it. Okay? Don't let anybody stop such a person. But for everybody else, it is really not the people you want to be associated with, the type of activity you want to be spending your time doing it. Now, somebody pressed me when I had a discussion with them recently, is it us or him to do it once? So, I couldn't tell him that I thought doing it once was Mishmartim Lo Nafshel Techem. It's probably much closer to Shantan Hashem. But I don't know, I'm not a posik enough. Certainly nothing offer ve'efer compared to Rav Moshe Feinstein, who says not to do it. So I don't know whether to apply it or not. So I couldn't tell him no, but I don't know, I'm conflicted. So nobody quote me as Samatir, because I'm not. Okay, we have a recording here. I'm not matir anything. I wasn't yet willing to say that my reading of the sugya, who am I? Again, I'm nothing. And my reading of the sugya led me to say that it was also to try it once. Okay, I wasn't ready to say that. It doesn't mean I'm matir it. Don't let anybody quote me as telling, oh, Rabbi in the shir told us we could smoke marijuana. That didn't happen. Okay? Any questions before we end? Yes?
It's
a go for it.
It seems to be like a very weak asur from Rav Moshe. Like in other words, he brings it that it's given up, given up.
Right, he
like,
needed like, eight reasons.
Yeah,
so like, that was sort of what led me to that, yes. I felt that too. But again, he was led to the conclusion that it's asur.
Sorry, Derek.
Rav Moshe's, Rav Fazi's reasons for these could easily be applied during the as well. I mean, like,
it could
detrimental to your mental health, detrimental to your physical health.
But I think about drinking a certain normal amount, you could easily make the argument of Dasha Barab. As in, there are wonderful people living their lives who have a glass of red wine with their dinner.
Yeah.
It's not detrimental, and it's beneficial, right? Not drinking to excess, but drinking a glass of red wine with your dinner each night or something, like a bittersweet chocolate or something, like they're good for you.
Maybe, maybe the preferred way to look at drinking marijuana is to not do it in excess.
Okay, how are you going to do that if it's addictive, though?
It's not proven addictive.
Good to know. Okay, so again, that can be a factor in deciding that it might be okay. You just didn't hear it from me. Yes.
Well, that's going to be medicinal on Yom Tov.
Yeah, so then.
Not shaman upon Nefesh.
Okay, but if it's medicinal, then it's all a question of you take your medicine on Yom Tov, so people who need to do a medicine every day are allowed to do it on Yom Tov and Shabbos too. Like, there's people who need to take a medicine only every other day or every, you know, once a week or something, and they don't do it on Shabbos and Yom Tov.
Right,
people who need it every day do it on Shabbos and Yom Tov, so it would be.
So even like something like if you need to smoke medicine, you have to do it on Shabbos?
So only if it's a kind of fashas. But Yom Tov is Shabbos and Chol Nefesh. In other words, depends what the need is, and then they have to consult the posseg there. But I'm not, I wouldn't discount the possibility of medical marijuana on Yom Tov.
But say, just like something like that, they smoke more like a. Pain reliever, like not
something I could heal. Yes, I don't know. I could do it. I don't know that there was much of that enough to benefit just for some pain. Yeah.
We completely ruled out smoking cigarettes according to halacha. Why is it so prominent in the shivot and the Jewish community today?
So that is a big issue. And three of the shivas I read said, some of them signed this thing and said, hang it up in all these shivas. Sitz Eliezer said, I sent a note to all these shivas and I got thank you notes. Oh, thank you, finally, somebody's doing something about it. So he doesn't understand. He thinks all the yeshivas should be stopping it and banning it. Rav Moshe Feinstein actually has a tshuva that you're in Choshen Mishpat. And Rav Moshe Feinstein, like damage law about smoking in public areas and smoking in yeshivas, and yeshivas should ban it, in the yeshiva, certainly. And that was even Rav Moshe Feinstein in his day. Meaning, even though he was the one who was saying, you can't tell me it's usher, nonetheless, you shouldn't be able to do it. I have the same question. Why is it so common? Yes. And I look askance on people who smoke, especially when I see a frum person smoking. It really bothers me. Okay.